1 Corinthians chapter number 16, if you look in verse number 19, in the closing remarks, as Paul finishes off the letter to the church of Corinth, he makes reference to some people and basically salutes them, as the Bible word. He salutes them in the Lord and sends his howdies along with from the people that are with him. Verse 19, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. Now this next little phrase, those of you that are old enough to remember the beginning days of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it has some meaning. Aquila and Priscilla salute you in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to look a little bit backwards so that then maybe we could more clearly look forward. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as the church goes forward. Lord, you've blessed this church, and your hand's been upon it for these 38 years. And dear Lord, it's my desire that that would continue. I would pray, Lord, that we would not forget from whence we came. And, Lord, somewhere along the way, we don't get off the right road, the road that we set out on. And Lord, that maybe some reset buttons would be pushed in our lives. We pray, dear God, I'm thankful for the opportunity from time to time to just educate some of our new folks and some of our young adults that are coming up that certainly no fault of their own weren't old enough to remember the beginnings of this church. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to just make sure that the path that we got on, that Bible path, that biblical path, Lord, we don't stray off of it. And so use this morning, Lord, to give us a little information, but also to inspire us and challenge us that we might stay on the right path for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In my study of church history, I've read this. I'm assuming that what I read was accurate, but I read in one of the church history books that I was studying that you have to go 400 years after the birth of Jesus Christ before they can find evidence of a church congregation that actually bought a piece of property and owned its own building. And so you say, what did the church do for 400 years, preacher? Where did they meet? Well, there's a wonderful truth here. This little phrase, with the church that is in their house, reminds us that the church is not a building. It's not a structure. Now, we all say this. Maybe you've got friends from out of town and you're driving past the church and you'd look and say, well, that's our church right there. And you're pointing out a building. You're pointing out a piece of property. And of course, we've all done it. We know what we're saying. But the honest truth is, that's not really an accurate statement. If you were to bring some friends in from out of town and during the week and you were to say, I want you to come and see our church, the honest truth is you'd have to drive around and introduce them to the congregation of the church. Because the church is not a building, the church is people. The church is an assembling of people. And wherever the church assembled, wherever the people assembled, that's where the church was. And so this interesting little statement of with the church that is in their house, the word church meaning a called out assembly, with the assembly that was meeting in their house. And so for 400 years, the church met wherever it could meet. It wasn't an unusual thing at all for some member of the congregation to offer their home as a gathering place, a meeting place for their local assembly. And we see that mentioned several times referenced in the New Testament. Colossians 4:15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. Philemon, Paul, verses 1 and 2, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, Timotheus, our brother, and to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to the church in thy house. And so we see mentioned this often, that when Paul's writing to church, he's writing to a home address. He's having the letter delivered to somebody's house because that's where the church met. So if you were in the first 100, 150, 200 years, and you were a Christian and you were traveling and you came to a city, you would make inquiry as to where the people, a lot of times what they would say is, where do the people of the way assemble? The people of the way. Or once Antioch, the people of Antioch coined the phrase Christians. Where do the Christians meet? The disciples or the followers of Christ meet. And sometimes you would be directed then to where one of them lived or a place where they met on the Lord's Day. You wouldn't have been directed to a public building. And I want you to understand that that's our heritage, folks. The book of Acts is our heritage. It's the heritage of every born-again believer. And by the way, it's very specifically the heritage of the assembly here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Blessed Hope Baptist Church was started in May of 1973. And the first time that church body assembled was in the living room of a man's house, Bob Swaby's house, in Midland, Indiana. And the church met there regularly for a certain amount of months. After that, the church men helped Bob build a 2-car garage, 2.5-car garage off the back of his house. That became the auditorium, the bedrooms and the living room and the laundry room and the dining room became the Sunday school classes. And I'm going to tell you this, I'm kind of glad that that's our heritage. That's where this church began. And we outgrew the living room and built on the 2-car garage and outgrew the 2-car garage. And I mean, folks, at one point in time, they even had built a box, a wooden box, that they would come in on Sundays and slide over the toilet in the bathroom. And the teacher would use that then as the podium, and they had a class in the bathroom. And so that's the heritage. We live in such a spoiled time. Look right up here. Let me just help you. A lot of church planters are telling me, you know what, we just live in, I guess people in America have become so highfalutin, they want a brick building with a white steeple before they'll grace it with their presence. I'm not sure I want those kind of people in my church anyway. Amen. I want to talk to you about some things because, folks, we, of course, have now gone over 38 years down the road and very thankful for the facilities that God's given us and the building God's given us and the congregation God's given us and the ministries God's given us. But as we begin to be blessed and prosper and grow, we cannot forget our roots. We should not forget from whence we came. And we ought to make sure that there's some things that we had back there in that garage and back there in that living room that we maintain some of those things today. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about our history, and I want to talk to you about some things. There's a handful of people in this church that could give testimony and tell stories because they were there. They met in that living room. They met in that garage. They walked this property and prayed for it before a building was ever built, where almost exactly where the auditorium is right now. We had a tent meeting when we had got the property and weren't ready to build yet, put a tent up right here and cleared a parking area and had tent revivals where the building is now. And so far, long before we had a place where we could walk in like I did this morning and flip a few switches and adjust the climate control and all of those things, there was a group of people that just gathered. There was an excitement about that and a sweetness about that. And, you know, we weren't here because of the nice building. We weren't here because, let's go to that church because it's the biggest one in town. We weren't the biggest one in town. But there was a sincerity in those days and a realness in those days. And, there was things we didn't know and things we were learning along the way. We weren't what we should have been probably in a lot of areas, but we were heading in that direction. By the way, we're still not what we should be in every area, but hopefully we're still heading in that direction. But there were some things that we had in those early days that I just don't want us to lose. I feel a burden about this. I've felt it for the last several years. We're, as I said, we'll be celebrating our 39th anniversary of our church this coming May. And we're in a very, very, I don't know if you realize this or not, so let me just help you, and I want you to catch the burden with me. We're in a very, very, very important time in the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I would say there's only a handful of churches that you'd be able to reference who have existed for 50 years and have maintained and stayed what they were during those 50 years. Where they started, they maintained it into that 50th year. I'm telling you, it's rare. I'm telling you, you can tell me about all kinds of churches where God blessed and they were born in a spirit of revival and unusual things happened, and they have this short time period where they had this wonderful blessing of God. And then, you know what? I don't know. People became impressed with themselves, lost track of what this thing was really about, got satisfied. Maybe the things that used to be wrong all of a sudden didn't seem as wrong. Maybe the pulpit got a little quiet because now all of a sudden the church is attracting some highfalutin people and people with money, and better be careful what you say because you don't want to lose them. A lot of times churches just got themselves in so much debt. Preacher couldn't afford to stand for what he needed to stand for. I want to say this. Thank God, by the way. I mean this. Thank God that Blessed Hope Baptist Church is debt-free. I mean that. When Pastor Ross came back in 1991 and got this church out of debt and led the church, and by the way, it was the people that rallied behind that, and y'all did it, those of you who were here, but we rallied behind that and got it debt-free. And you know what? When I got this church, it was debt-free, and I'm not going to be the preacher that puts it back into debt. I'll just tell you that right now. We'll live within our means. If we need to build a building, we'll raise the money and build it. We'll do something. But you think about how many ministries are handcuffed because, I mean, I'm going to tell you, I talk to preachers, just scare the... They talk about, you know, $5,800 a month payments because they want this, you know, Southern Baptist-looking church building so that we can impress everybody in the community. I mean, you know, I'll go back to meeting in a house before I do that. Are you kidding me? What in the world? And so, you know, let's keep some... But I don't know all the reasons, but I know this. I've looked at it and I've studied it, and one of the best things I do is I like to go back, even in our infancy, even with us still finding our ways in a lot of areas. You got to understand, folks, this church, a lot of the folks that were coming to that church, it just broke out of the convention churches, and there was still some convention mentality, and we were still learning and growing and going. But there was some raw elements of what was there that I would like to still make sure is here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let me give them to you this morning, okay? A pioneer spirit. Amen. There was a pioneer spirit. Now, folks, that is so important that in the 38th and 39th and 40th year of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we don't lose that pioneer spirit. You know, there's, like I said, a lot of people that they don't really want to be a part of something that's trying to get off the ground. They want to be a part of something that's already established. That's one of the things that Brother Gerald's running into, and guys that are out there planting churches, is we have such a spoiled mentality. Families want to come in, and they want to find a church that's got this program, and 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 this program. They can plug everybody in. They can set. Everybody's always doing already doing all the work, and they can just show up, set, and be fed and entertained and blessed and helped. But there's not too many of this. Let's build something. Preacher, what needs done? There's not too many of those people around that just are willing to say, you know, let's go somewhere where there's nothing. And let's reach a new community for Christ. You say, preacher, well, we no longer have to have that pioneer spirit because, oh, yes, we do. I think one of the reasons that established churches die is because they lose their pioneer spirit. Well, preacher, we're not meeting in a garage. We're not meeting in a living room. We have a building. I mean, yes, folks, but you know what? Last I checked, this entire area wasn't reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the minute that a church just gets satisfied, the minute a church loses that pioneer spirit, the minute a church loses their vision, the minute a church says, we're doing enough. Now, what's the preacher going to start this next year? What's it going to cost us? You know, why can't he just be satisfied? I'll tell you when I'm going to be satisfied. I'll be satisfied a second and a half after the twinkling of an eye and the trump sounding, and then I'll be satisfied in his presence. But listen, folks, I hope that you don't want a preacher that's satisfied. You ever get a pastor that stands behind this pulpit that's satisfied, you might as well start You might as well order the tombstone for the church and go ahead and have it put right out there in the front yard, because you got a dying church. Now that means those of you that are satisfied, my job is to irritate you. It is. My job is just to poke and prod and make you uncomfortable, make you antsy, and make you wish that I'd get off certain subjects, and I'm not going to do it. See, I don't need to change. You need to change. We start losing our pioneer spirit. Now, I like the people that join Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and within a little bit of time, they come to me and they're like, "Preacher, we need to do something. Is there something we can do?" Not the ones I have to bring in and say, "Come on, it's time to get to busy doing something." Now, there's something for everybody to do. And there's new ministries that need to be started. And there's new areas that need to be reached. And you can't lose that pioneer spirit. Let me take you over to Acts chapter 17. Let me show you what I think is one of the most beautiful pictures of a pioneer spirit. And what do you mean by that, preacher? I think if you want to find a person in the Bible that had the pioneer spirit, it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, he couldn't seem to go anywhere without looking and seeing the need and having God stir something in his heart. In Acts chapter number 17, if you look at verse number 15, Paul comes to Athens. And I love the way this is. Think about this. Think about the story as it's being told here in verse 15. "And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed." So a group of men conducted Paul to Athens. Paul told this group of men, "You tell Silas and Timotheus I need them here as fast as they can get here." So, and then the group left, and Paul was by himself. Now Paul, his plan when they left was, "I'm going to sit here, I'm going to wait for reinforcements, and then we're going to see what we can get started here." But notice this, verse 16. "Now while Paul," what? "Waited for them in Athens." So that was the plan. He was just going to wait. When they got there, let's do something. But something began to happen. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the church of the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. You know what he said? He said, "You know what? Them young whippersnappers, when they ever get here, by the time they get here, the whole world's going to go to hell. Jesus is going to come back before those two guys finally get here, so forget it. I'm just going to jump in and I'm just going to get it started right now." He saw a need. He saw a need. He saw a city given over to idolatry. He saw people lost and on their way to hell. And he couldn't just sit there and do nothing about it. Now, if you ought to underline that little phrase there. His spirit was stirred in him. You know what that's called? That's called the pioneer spirit. That means, listen, I can't speak for you all. But every once in a while I'll have a reason that I need to travel across southern Indiana. And I've stopped to get fuel in cities of some size in southern Indiana. And next thing I know, I'm asking the guy, after I pay for the gas for the fuel, I ask him for a phone book. And I'm looking in the phone book under the yellow pages for church listings, because you know what? I'm sitting there looking at this city thinking, is there an independent fundamental work in this city? And I can't hardly drive through a town without wondering. But you don't have to drive clear out of this area. There's places within striking distance we're still not making an impact on. There's areas right here in our Jerusalem we haven't reached at all. And so what I'm saying is, folks, we can't lose that. We can't lose that. Now, preacher, this whole idea of birthing a church, exciting, yes. And let me give you this thought. How do you keep a church from getting old? How do you keep it from getting satisfied? How do you keep from getting it aged? One of the exciting things about our church was the vast majority, or a large portion of the people that was in the church in those early days, were new converts. You know, there's something about new converts that just energize a church. And you know what we've got to do? We've got to make sure that people are being saved and discipled here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You see, I don't feel like we ever stopped starting a church. The minute we stopped starting a church, you know, 38 years down the road, we should be still be starting a church. And so what we have to do is we have to be constantly birthing a church within our church. Okay? Birthing a church within our church. Why are we separating out the young adult class? Folks, let me just say this. Probably in the next 2 years, we're going to subdivide several other times. Why? Because that's Sunday school. Sunday school is a great way to start churches within a church. There's men in this church that God's preparing. There's men in this church that you have the ability. And I ought to be able to give you 10 adults and say what I'd like you to see in a year and a half is to walk into this class and see 30 adults. Not because you stole them from somebody else's class. I mean, we are Baptists, right? I mean, that's right. But are you seeing this? There's men that you could do that. And you ought to start preparing yourself for that and thinking about that. I'm going to tell you something. I'm 100% in agreement with the old Lee Robertson philosophy of how to build a church. And he'd tell you 1,000 times, you build your church through your Sunday school. We have classes that we've split in the last, since we got the new building, was able to empty classrooms. But hey, I still got some empty classrooms down there. Not a lot, but I got a couple. And we haven't even used the classrooms that are out in the new building yet. We could use them for Sunday school. Now, the idea is this. I want you to start praying. I want you to start preparing. Why should I take seriously this matter of growth and grace? Why should I take seriously this matter of getting my act together? Husbands, wives, why should you stop fussing? And decide to bury the hatchet. Oh, I gotta be careful there. And decide to seriously. Come on now. Why should I give up some things in my life? Why should I get my life on the right path? Why should I get my life on the right track? Because the honest truth is, many of you have the skill set. If you get your act together, if you keep your nose clean, you get some foolishness and sin out of your life, that I'd have been able to hand you, you know, 10 kids and visit you in 6 months and see 25 kids in there. See, that's how the church never ought to stop the birthing process. When we stop the birthing process, when we get to the point where we get satisfied, when we lose our pioneer spirit, when we stop seeing what is possible. You know, I've had people say, "Well, Brother Ross, I'll tell you what, for the size community you have, this is a, and it is." But you know what? Nah, the tip of the iceberg, what God could do. But you know what? It really does fall on us. I'm talking to the group of people that it's going to fall on. And I promise you, there's 15, 20 men in this room that, and I mean this, it's time to start reading your Bible every morning. It's time to start praying. It's time to get your home in order. It's time to stop some of the foolishness. It's time to go to your DVD collection and clean it out. It's time to give up, ladies, some of the silliness, some of the foolishness. It's time to start dressing right and doing right and acting right. Because the honest truth is, you know what? God could use you. And I'm not going to have you stand. I almost did that this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. I could have 15 men and 15 women stand up right now in this church that have the capacity. And I think if you got serious about it and prayed about it and were given the opportunity, could take a small group of people and with God's blessing turn them into a large group of people. And you know what? That's how the church is supposed to grow. The church is not supposed to grow by how many people one man can bring in. The church is supposed to grow by how many people the assembly can influence and bring into the congregation of Jesus Christ. And Sunday school has traditionally been the growth tool of the church. And so I'd like this to start more adult classes. I'd like us by, I'd say 2 years down the road, I'd like to have 5, 6 different adult classes. And I mean prospering adult classes. I mean classes that are doing something. I mean classes that have a vision. I mean a teacher that's wanting to see God bless and grow and help and got some sense about him and can lead a group of people in the right way. And so there you go. That pioneer spirit. Preacher, man, we got 5 bus routes. That's great. Yeah, but you know what? We probably ought to have 10. Could have. You see? And, well, man, we got a good-sized youth group. Yeah, we do. God bless us. We've got a good-sized youth group. But you know what? It could be bigger. So, preacher, we're in 7 nursing homes. Well, there's nursing homes in the area we're not in. Preacher, come on. When are you going to be satisfied when Jesus comes? We're not in the jails like we need to be. We're not in the prisons like we need to be. There's more churches to start than the one in Victory Baptist Church. Preacher, I came here, I was already tired. You got me more tired just thinking about this stuff. You know what's gonna, you know, the only thing standing between this church and what I'm outlining right now is whether or not there's something burning inside of you like burning in the Apostle Paul. Now, I can have the fire, but I'm going to max out what I can do, because one man can only do so much. But you get a church with a pioneer spirit, you get a church that has their spirit stirred in them, you get a church that got enough sense and enough spirituality to be able to step out and do some things and have some men and some of you ladies step out, you could build some Sunday school classes and you could be a blessing. And there's always something. Now listen, the minute we lose our pioneer spirit, the minute we get satisfied, the minute we spend more time criticizing than calculating what could be done next, then you know what? The church begins to turn in on itself. It loses its vision from outside, and a cancer sets in, and a church begins to eat at itself, and it will destroy itself from the inside out. I want some of you to turn that energy that you're putting into negativity into something positive. I mean this. Some of you, you've got energy and you're using it, but you're using it to battle each other and to bicker and to criticize. And I'd like to do that probably. I'm just carnal enough, I'd like to do it, but I can't find the time. You know why? Because I'm so busy trying to do the next thing. So get a vision about that. Get a vision about that, okay? Now, let me tell you what else we had in the garage that we got to keep. And you're getting a little bit of it this morning, even though I'm kind of in teach mode. But we had something in that garage called tree stump preaching. Okay, you know the story. Well, some of you don't, so I'm going to tell it. My dad was pastoring an American Baptist church in the area, first pastor that he had. People, he didn't know a whole lot. He's the one that said that. I didn't. And but he knew to preach salvation, preach the basic doctrines of the Bible, and people started getting saved, and church started growing, and man, next thing you know, they had no more room, and Sunday school classes were filled up, and a building project was being planned, and a core group of American Baptist people didn't like it because Bob Ross was messing up their little church, and how much better it was when it was just our little group. And oh my goodness, I walked in and someone was sitting in my pew. And all the nonsense from a bunch of lost church members, And next thing you know, my dad starts saying something from the pulpit of that church along this lines. The day comes that I can't preach the truth from this pulpit, I'll go find a tree stump to preach from. And I like that statement, but the problem is if you make that long enough, somebody will take you up on it. And they did. And so him and mom, our family, was asked to lead the church. And when we had our first meeting, I won't go into the long story, but some of the men finally talked Dad into meeting one time at Bob Swaby's house and said, you know, let's just meet one Sunday, and if people show up, we'll know God wants us to do something. If they don't, maybe it's not of God. But Bob and I guess it was Bob Swaby that built that, wasn't it, Charles, that built the pulpit? And went out in the woods with his tractor and yanked a tree stump out of the ground and made a pulpit out of it and built a little base on it, built a little top on it. And Dad had no idea this was happening. He walked in the first Sunday and a bunch of 34 people was assembled in that living room. And men are standing there, and they point up at the front of the church, and there's a pulpit made out of a tree stump, because Dad was saying, if I can't preach the truth, I'll go find a tree stump. Now, this isn't a tree stump pulpit, but I've got that tree stump pulpit in my office. If you'd like to see it, you know what? I'll take you back there and show it to you. I keep it in my office. It doesn't belong to me. Dad told me a long time ago, he said, Jerry, that's not my pulpit. That pulpit belongs to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you know what? I keep it in my office, but it's not my pulpit. It belongs to the church. Long after I'm gone, I hope it's around here somewhere. I hope it don't get stuck in mothballs and stuck up in a storage room somewhere. I hope every preacher that follows me keeps it in his office, so every once in a while when he's tempted as he's outlining a message and he starts thinking, oh my goodness sakes, if I say what the Bible says here, I'm going to be in trouble with so-and-so. I hope he just looks up and sees that tree stump pulpit and says, you know what? Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And the honest truth is, I think that a church will begin to die when the pulpit starts apologizing for what the Bible says instead of preaching what the Bible says. I mean, one of the most discouraging things I'm seeing in this day and age is we have politicians in the pulpits, not prophets. And too many preachers get up every week and they wet their finger and they check which way the wind's blowing. And they're busy taking surveys and polls to see how they can keep everybody happy. I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to tell you right now, I'd resign tomorrow before I'd live that way. I'd go out and make an honest living before I live that way, because that would be a dishonest way to make a living as a preacher. And you know what I want to do? I'm going to read this book, and I want to preach what it says. And I remember, I think it was Brother Greg talked to Tim. Was it Tim in summer? Tim was asking you about, first time he was going to come visit our church. He's like, before I go to your church, let me just ask him, what kind of preacher you got? What's he like? And Greg just said, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. He opens the Bible, and whatever it says, he's going to shoot it shotgun straight, and he's going to say what it says, and if it makes you happy, it makes you happy. If it doesn't make you happy, he don't care. That's what you're going to get. And you know what? Tim got a big smile on his face and said, all right, that's the kind of guy I'm looking for. By the way, there's still men out there looking for that. There's still men. I'm convinced. Evangelical church, I'll say something. Ladies, don't get mad at me. Is a result of the feminization of Christianity. Jesus is my boyfriend songs. A man getting up there, talking more about feelings than facts. And you know what? You get an old lost sinner, a guy, you know what? Maybe everything that, you know what? Maybe he's doing everything against the Bible, but you know what? He wants to hear the truth. He wants to hear the truth. He's got more respect for a preacher who'll tell him the truth, even if it hurts, than he will somebody he knows is soft soaping and tiptoeing through the tulips. And so, and you know what? If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, we're still to do it. You know, remember what it said. Paul predicted to Timothy in the last days. You know, he was saying they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what? He said it doesn't matter. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And I'm convinced of this. I think this whole pendulum's starting to swing back. Oh, preacher, what about all these contemporary churches and this, you know, seeker-friendly and the surveys and give them what they want and make the sinner comfortable in the assembly and you know, starve the saint and, you know, all the... I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, I know a bunch of Americans and even some Christians followed that nonsense, but I'm going to tell you something. You can't... They're figuring out. I mean, I really see a returning back to people coming out of those churches now saying, you know what, we were better off when we had old-time religion. Our kids were better off when we had old-time religion. And I think you're going to see more and more people leaving those churches. Oh, well, some of them left independent fundamental churches and went and followed that stuff. Well, you just hang around. Folks, you know, that's why I don't get excited about every new, you know, cart and pony that comes trotting down the street. You know, you live long enough, you see this fad and this thing and that thing. And you know what? Old-time religion's always been here and always will be here. It should always be here. And you know what? It's always going to attract a following. And because there are always going to be a people that want the truth. Now, men, look up here and let me help you. If that's the kind of preaching you want, then you ought to say amen to it. You're getting quieter and quieter here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm just flat telling you, it's getting quieter and quieter around here. And, you know, That's how it starts. All of a sudden, the men who you say amen to it get a little mute mouth. Because maybe there's some people now that don't really agree with that anymore. Or maybe my wife decided she's getting off that train. You got to get a permission slip. You write a note. Honey, can I agree here? Can I agree here? Come on now. Or you got a teenager that's in rebellion. So all of a sudden, the things that used to be easy to say amen to isn't easy to say amen to. But they still need to be said. And so, you know what? Support it. Support it. I appreciate the early evangelists that came through here, that Dad had come through. I've said this a lot, but I appreciate just the preaching on the fundamental doctrines of the faith. I thank God I grew up in an environment where preachers came in and preached on hell. They preached on the second coming of Jesus Christ. They preached on the judgment seat of Christ. They preached on heaven and holiness and separation from the world. And you know what? They didn't just preach against sin. They named it. And if we're not careful, we get sophisticated. There may be a day I'm praying for the rapture. I'm praying. I mean this, folks. I mean it. I don't want to build an auditorium unless we got a gun to our heads and we can't not build an auditorium. I have no desire in my heart to want to go through another building project. I'm asking Jesus to come back for. I mean that. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a trend amongst our independent fundamental Baptist churches to want to build these monstrosities. We're already turning into the Southern Baptists that we left. And we're more impressed and more concerned about how fancy. And you know what happened to the church in your house? What happened to the storefront? What happened to brush arbors? I keep saying we're going to do this, and we will, Lord willing. But as a matter of fact, this spring is going to be one of our major projects, one of the things I want to start. But we've got some property out back here behind that metal building, and we're going to start clearing that out, clear out the trees. By the way, I say we. That's not me and Brother Reiser. That's we. It means when we have a work day, you men that are able-bodied show up and you help us. Teenage boys show up. Boy, that'd be an amazing thing. Have a work day and have teenage boys show up, Brother Tom. Imagine that. We're going to have to try something new around here. Ridiculous. You moms and dads, shame on you. Let your boys sit around the house and goof off while there's a work day going on. I mean it. Shame on you. Man alive, I grew up on the work days of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We didn't even ask if we were going. By the way, we wanted to go. Mom and Dad wanted to go. Family wanted to go. Something exciting was going on. We were trying to figure out how we get out of stuff. We were trying to figure out how fast we can get to stuff. I'd like to clear this out back there, and we're going to build a shelter house, and we're going to put some playground equipment out there for the kids, for the school and whatnot, for before church, after church. And then we're going to build a little outdoor, amphitheater, yeah. Like wooden benches. I'm talking about an old wooden platform. You mean no pads? No pads. No pads. Pads are liberal. This is the way churches go to the devil. You get padded pews, you know. And preacher, are you talking about out there? And well, what are we doing that for? Because every once in a while, the weather hits right. You may just show up on a Sunday night and say church meeting out back in the woods. You know, see, they think we're a cult now. What do they find out? I'm taking you to the woods, man. We'll be serving Kool-Aid out there and hot dogs. Amen. We'll have hot dogs. Say, come to church tonight, folks, and we're going to be grilling some meat out there. Yeah, grilling meat. We'll eat, and then we'll get together and we'll sing and have an outdoor sing for a while, and then we'll just get out there and preach. You see, folks, here's the thing. The more that it seems like the church wants to modernize, the more I want to go back to what we were. And I'm not against the advances in technology if they're used right. I'm not against everything. I don't have as knee-jerk a reaction as even some of you might when I walk in a church that has a few things that we don't have. I really don't. But I'm not enamored with the stuff either. And I like our young people get a little taste of the way the Baptists. This is our Baptist heritage. It's not fancy brick buildings and big white steeples. And I'm not against them either as long as it's done right. But it's brush arbors, it's tent meetings, tent revivals, and so I run over, and now the kids are going to come storming in here. So, but. more we could say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'd ask, Lord, that you just continue to burden our church and help our church. And Lord, whatever happened in Paul's heart there in Athens, God, give us a little taste of that. I pray, Lord, we ought to ask ourselves even now, when's the last time my spirit was stirred within me? Not because I got mad about something or because I didn't like something, but because I saw something, a need. Pastor began to talk about the future and something began to burn inside of my heart. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Help us not to get so busy, caught up in the things of this world. So our schedule's so full, we barely have time to even show up to 3 services a week, let alone show up and actually do something extra. Help us to keep our priorities right. Help us keep our finances right, Lord. Help us to keep our minds and our hearts right. And Lord, help us to see the possibilities ahead. Bless this church, dear God. I'd like, Lord, all the way till Jesus comes to be found faithful. Lord, you'd find a church, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years, when you come back, you'd find a little church off the grid in a little town in southern Indiana that still believes in old-time religion, still loves souls, still loves this book, and still living separated holy lives. Help us, Lord, to be that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.